Every year, opportunities like this po, no, the closing of the year and opportunity po to face another year, no, in a sense we are in a transition time. Kaya kumbaga meron po tayong nilook forward, meron po tayong nilook back, no. At ito nga po, nandun pa rin po ang kabalahan po natin, no, sa mga pagdiriwang na naranasan po natin sa Kapaskuhan po ito. At nawa, no, hindi pa rin po mawaglit sa ating pong isip ang ating pong focus kay sa ating Diyos na buhay, sa ating Panginoon at tagapagligtas. And I don't want to miss that. Of course, even in the way that I want to be able to share God's Word to you, so that nice ko pong i-connect ito pong mensahe po na ito para po sa atin. Ito pong Kapaskuhan at ito pong New Year na nilook forward po natin. And I've chosen this message, the reason he came. And the passage we'll be looking at will be in Mark chapter 1 and in Mark chapter 8. Okay, so you can open your Bibles there with me. Let's read together Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, and then go to Mark chapter 8. Okay, of course, we'll be dealing with Mark chapter 8, okay, primarily. But in context, Mark chapter 1, 1 to 3, babasahin na rin po natin. Of course, please bear in mind, no, there with our limitations of time, okay, we will just be focusing on this subject, the reason Christ came. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, I'll be reading from the NASB. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 38. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and the others say, Elijah, but others, one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." And he summoned the crowd with the disciples, and he said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Praise God for his word. I'm sure that you may have observed, especially in our time, that throughout the years, there had been this outpouring of attacks on Christianity. And the opposition continues to be more fearsome, and more people are becoming more and more rebellious with regard to Christianity and the message that we proclaim. Especially, brethren, the attack not only on Christianity but on the core of Christianity, and their main target is really none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And even throughout our lifetime, makakarinig po tayo ng mga situations kung paano po yung ilang pong mga manunulat, yung mga aklat, kay mga even movies, okay, that inaccurately or falsely proclaim or declare Jesus Christ, okay, merely as a human being. Some of us may be familiar with some works, okay, for example, of Morton Smith in his book, The Secret Gospel, presented Christ as the magician, okay, in 1973 book. In the 1980s, we find Bagent and Lincoln and Lace, Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I'm sure some of you who lived in the 80s may have heard of this already. And these authors spun the impossible saga that is at the heart of the storyline of the recently published The Da Vinci Code, okay, by Dan Brown. And some of us may have read that book or may have watched that film, The Da Vinci Code. And Jesus was presented here as someone who was in love and married to Mary Magdalene, and that their offspring persisted in the Merovingian dynasty of the medieval France. Okay, na parang mayroon pong mga descendants ang ating pong Panginoong Jesus. And to some degree, you know, these authors and these producers have infiltrated our society such that some people might have been convinced, no, of their arguments, no matter how ridiculous you might think. Okay, sa ating pong pag-aakala, no, ito pong mga aklat po na ito pong mga pagpanunulat, ito pong mga publications o mga movies po na ito, ay wala pong katuturan, wala pong katotohanan. Ngunit po sa tingin ng marami, no, some of them might have at the backs of their minds, or even somehow, no, this may have affected their view about Christianity. This may have affected the way they look at Christ, and seemingly, no, lalo na po itong Da Vinci Code po na ito, dahil ang ginawa po niya, nilagay po niya ang kanyang mga arguments in the form of so-called facts. Okay, fact number one, ito yung nangyari. Fact number two, seemingly like presenting an evidence, okay, an investigation about the truth concerning the Messiah, about Christ himself, showing it as if these are real issues, real situations, or real evidence that he presents just to convince his readers and his audience that what he's saying are true. But in actuality, if you clearly examine these facts, they have no actual basis even in history. They have no factual basis at all. Even po, no, pagdating po sa mga ganyan, mga kapatid, tandaan po natin, anyone can just invent anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone can just write anything about the Lord Jesus Christ and say, this was then, that during this time, I had interviewed some people. But this can easily be, mas discredit po natin kaagad, no, itong mga bagay nito. Dahil sa katotohanan po, if the people during that time had learned of these things already, why had they not spoken against these things right away and discredit the historical facts? Eh, at wala po tayong makikita pong ganoon. And as the Gospels were written, we see them in their truthfulness, we see them presenting the Lord Jesus Christ in different ways, in different angles, so that you and I, brethren, have clear evidence of the truth, have clear evidence of the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his person, of his deity, of his being, of the things that he has done. At hindi lang po yun. Some of these so-called gospels sa sinusulat, they do not contain the details. The details, no, in terms of the way the gospels present Jesus Christ. If the gospels, for example, present Lazarus in a certain town of Bethany, okay, you would be able to verify the address, you'd be able to verify the person who lived during that time, and you'll be able to verify the truthfulness of Christ's miracle in the way that he raised Lazarus from the dead. But some of these would say in a general way, in this particular place, and in this particular person who had no identity at all in history, and they try to convince people that this is already the truth. But hopefully, brethren, some of us know that we as a people, no, has our faith been undermined by these fantasies and lies presented under the guise of truth? Some of us are being convinced, no, kung hanggang sa ngayon, medyo nayayanig ka, oh, ano nang gagawin natin? Ganito pala nangyari, meron palang pamilya si Jesus Christ. Are we going to get these people and appear before our service so that we could also put a monument for them and just worship them? Because they came from the lineage of Christ. Or Jesus pala is an adulterer. Or Jesus pala is someone who committed these things. And we get to doubt. No? Do we have any reason to doubt the divinity of Christ then? Do you have any reason to doubt the truthfulness of Christianity knowing these things? I hope, mga kapatid, had our Christian forefathers been deceived? Or even deceived others. Have they been deceived? Okay, sa ating bang palagay, itong mga taong ito ay napaka mangmang at hindi man lang po nila pinag-aralan kung sino ba ang Panginoon, ano bang katotohanan patungkol po sa Kanya. And we know, brethren, that the answer to these questions is obviously no. We know for a fact, brethren, that these things that people continue to do to assault Christianity and the message of Christianity and Christ Himself are nothing but fantasies and lies. They're just human inventions that had withstood the tests of time already. These things that we have believed in, these things that we affirm, these things that we are continually declaring before the world and before us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as the people of God representing Him before the world, okay, we have confidence in the truth. We have confidence in Christ and in Christ alone. And that's why I want to present to us the reality of Christ, not just in the gospel, of course, we've heard so many sermons in Matthew, in Luke, giving us details concerning the birth of Christ, and of course, all the other accounts that speak about Christ's life, His teachings, His ministry. Okay, we see some differences as well in terms of the emphasis in Matthew, Christ being presented as King to the Jews primarily. Kaya nga po, dito makikita po natin how Matthew is really pointing to Christ from the perspective of the line of David, the king. Okay, and he is indeed king. Kaya makikita rin po natin sa aklat ni Luke yung kanyang humanity in the way that Christ has been presented to us being born in a manger. And yet, okay, human, even in his birth as a human being, true human, okay, 100% man, of course, still 100% God. Okay, Luke wanted to emphasize his true humanity. That he came truly as a man and lived as a man and taught as a man and suffered as a man and died on the cross as a man so that we have a representative to represent humanity before God and make him capable of truly saving us from our sins. And John, of course, presents Christ to be God. And it's more too logical in his approach. So, kung titignan po natin ang bawat angulo po nito mga Gospels po nito, mamamangha po tayo sa kagandahan po na account po ng ating Panginoong Jesus. Hindi po tayo magsasawa na pag-aralan, pakinggan, at tignan ang katotohanan patungkol po sa ating Panginoon. That he was being presented, or he was presented by John in a more theological way. And he presented him in such a way that to all audiences, different people of different race and even languages, okay, talaga nga pinagsikapan po ni John, i-present po siya. Okay, kaya nga po sabi niya, and these things were written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in Him, you may have life in His name. Okay, I could have written more of those, these things, and yet I want you to be convinced that you must know Him as the Son of God, as God Himself. Kaya nga sa umpisa pa lamang, in the beginning, God. No? In the beginning, okay, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have that perspective. Now, usually, hindi po natin tinitignan and binubuksan ang aklat po ni Mark. Okay? Dahil akala po natin, ang aklat ni Mark usually are just mere accounts, no? The things that the Lord performed, the Lord did. Okay? And then Mark was so subtle in revealing the Christmas story, okay? Not at the beginning, but in the middle. Okay? And I think we've read that already in Mark chapter 8. Okay, kung tignan po natin, structure po ng Mark, okay, Mark already reveals his theme, okay, his desire. Una, in Mark 1:1, dun pa lamang po, sinabi na po niya, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Okay, nothing comes short, no, the reality of the Lord Jesus as the Christ. He is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Kumpleto na po yan. Paano po niya inihayag, no, ang pagiging Diyos at pagiging tao ng ating Panginoong Jesus. And then he continued on with regard to the messenger, John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist pointed to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then, dun na po, no, sa buong account po na ito, paano po na-present ang ating pong Panginoong Jesus as an adult. No longer as a baby, but as an adult. Okay, and nag-jump na po siya. No? And he rightly did this and purposefully did this because he was already presenting Jesus to converts from the Roman world. Okay, kumbaga, ito na po yung summation at ito na po yung pagkakataon po niya na ipakita hindi lamang po yung kapanganakan at pagkabata, kundi ang maturity po, ang adulthood ng Panginoon, and highlighting His works or His actions and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and His mission to the world. Kaya nga po, ang pamagat po natin, the reason Christ came. The reason Christ came. Because here we find, brethren, this gospel of Mark already gives to us in its climax, in Mark chapter 8. Okay, kung meron po tayong makikita ng pinaka zenith po ng itong writing po ito, is in terms of Jesus being able to reveal Himself and primarily to Peter. Okay, by the way, if you're going to look at the background of Mark, okay, he's the same Mark that disappointed the Apostle Paul, okay, during the book of in the book of Acts. Okay, and yet, okay, was restored back to God and then became, no, a powerful teacher and a companion of Barnabas and of Peter. Okay, in some accounts, okay, they say that Mark was converted under Peter's ministry. Okay, kaya napaganda po, nabalikan, no, itong account po na ito, considering the fact na ginamit po ng Panginoon si Pedro to convince Mark about who Jesus Christ is. And in this particular account, in Mark chapter 8, you can go back to Mark chapter 8 and look at verses 27 to 30. This refers to Peter's confession of Christ. When Jesus asked His disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is, or who do people say that I am? Peter responded, you are the Christ. Okay, and he rightly said it. But of course, you would find in this particular instance, nahilaw pa po ang kanyang pagkakilala sa ating Panginoon. Even at that point, even in confessing Christ as the Messiah, he was not yet as perfect in his knowledge of Christ as until the resurrection of our Lord. Because we get to understand how Peter conducted himself when Christ was nailed to the cross, who was suffering on the cross, and he denied Him 3 times. And he even turned his back and went back to fishing and things like that that happened. And Christ died on the cross. But then he began to remember in terms of the things that the Lord, the purpose of His coming, in His death and His resurrection. And after the resurrection, we see Him as the mighty Apostle Peter himself. Okay, of course, tao pa rin po siya, but nonetheless, he was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he gave his life, and he sealed his message in proclaiming Christ as the Messiah, in proclaiming Christ our Lord, crucified, and even died, okay, upside down, sabi nga po nila, crucified, no, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. At napaganda pong account po na ito pagdating po sa katotohanan ng ating Panginoong Jesucristo. And this is the message, brethren, for all of us as people of God. What can we know about Christ in this account? So you and I must truly be convinced with all our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, not just a picture of Him in the manger, but a picture of Him in totality, in His being the God that He is. So the first thing we look at is the divinity of His person, the person, the divine person that He is. Let's read verses 27 to 30. Jesus went out along with His disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way He questioned His disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told Him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And He continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." And He warned them to tell no one about Him. He warned them to tell no one about Him. This immediate confession of Peter, really, brethren, serves as a hinge of this account. Okay, so that from this time on, okay, pagkatapos po ng time na ito, makikita na po natin ang pag-present po kay Christ. Like in a snapshot, no? Kung baga, pinapakita po niya ang bilis, no? Ng mga account pagdating po sa paghihirap, and even to the point of the crucifixion and the resurrection and ascension of our Lord. Okay, ang bilis na po ng pangyayari po from this time on. From verse 31 all the way to the end of this book, we will be seeing the effects of that revelation of Christ and how it had truly convinced these people who the Lord is. But the first thing He presented was that His divine person. And we know that even in the time of Christ, there were many false ideas about Him. Okay, and who do people say that I am? They told Him, some say you are John the Baptist, or others say you are Elijah, or you are one of the prophets. And seemingly that kind of question of the Lord revealed really where the people were. Where the people, in terms of their standing, in terms of the way they comprehend about who Jesus is. Kaya pinapakita po lamang noon, no, sa kanila pong pananaw. Okay, you go back to Mark chapter 3. Okay, at makikita pa rin po natin doon ang realidad na kanilang pagkaunawa patungkol po sa ating Panginoong Jesus. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, when His own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of Him, for they were saying, He has lost His senses. Itong taong ito, no, He heals during the Sabbath, or He claims to be someone who He is not. Okay, sino ba ito? Anak lamang siya ng karpintero. Sino ba ito? Okay, they're just wondering where He came from and how on earth was He declaring all these realities about God and about the being of God and performing all these miracles left and right. And seemingly they could not reconcile who He is. In their minds, He's just someone who has lost his senses. A lunatic. We'll see more of this in a while. In Mark chapter 3, 22, you will see them declaring, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, He is possessed by Beelzebul, and he cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons. Napunin niyo ang kanilang pangunawa, no, sa ating pong Panginoon, from being a lunatic to being a devil, okay, and all the devil, okay, possessed by the devil and doing these works by the power of Satan. Okay, and the way that they understand him and false ideas about him. But in Mark chapter 8, even more. Okay, kanilang pagkakilala pa rin po sa kanya. Sa lagay po na yan, no? Matagal na, and dami mga bagay ng ginawa ang Panginoon. Kung titinan nyo lang po itong Mark chapter 8, okay, may mga milagro na pong ginawa dyan ng ating pong Panginoon. Ang dami na pong mga himala na ginawa ng ating pong Panginoon. Ngunit hanggang sa pagkakataon pong yun, ang mga tao ay ayaw pa rin pong kilalanin po siya. He's just a prophet or he's just a miracle worker. Okay? He's just a normal guy. You know, maybe having the power of a prophet like John the Baptist or Elijah. And what did John the Baptist experience? He was beheaded. Okay? Or Elijah himself. Of course, he's gone up to heaven. And ito lang siya. You know, para sa kanila, he's just a mortal being. Okay? Kahit na ginagawa po niya yung po mga milagro po na ito. And we get to understand, brethren, how people, even until now, in our time, have a false idea of Christ. And in the way that they respond to Him ranges from just ignoring Him to becoming hostile to Him and just really being able or accusing Him of so many things. And someone who does not deserve, okay, all those proper regard as well, undermining him or underestimating his works and his person. And we know that people continue, you know, to come to him, of course, not because they regard him as someone who is truly of God, or maybe they just come just because of the benefits they get of his healings, of his provisions in terms of the miracles that he performed. The feeding of the 4,000, the healing and the miracles that he performed, they go to him to be entertained, to be amazed, to somehow just say, wow, ang galing-galing niya. Just like a magician maybe who just flatters them with all his tricks, rather than seeking to honor him as king, rather than seeking to honor him as God. And brethren, we get to realize that even until now, what do people today want from Jesus? We get to ask that even for ourselves. Why did I come to Christ? Why did I go to Christ? I'm just interested in the miracle working Christ? Am I just interested in this wonderful person that he is? And I have no intent at all in terms of acknowledging him as king over my life. I have no intent at all to follow him and obey him. I have no intent at all to surrender my whole life to him. I am just here because I'm curious about Christ. I am just here because I just want to admire him as a good guy and maybe some example, because, you know, I'm a good person and I can be a good person to imitate him maybe to some degree. People will also admire me. But nothing short of the real reality of Christ. Did he come to simply make our lives pleasant? And some people look at Christ as that. Someone who could provide for them for gain and for how they can be prospered, how they can be healthy, how they can have all the amenities of life and the comforts there is. And their best life is here. And the things that they want are just the benefits of Christ and Christianity, and yet fall short in terms of truly acknowledging Him as their Lord and Master. They're just out to get Christ, to use Him to their advantage in so many ways. And hopefully po, no, tayo who claim to believe in Jesus Christ, even now, would have a deeper understanding of who He is in our lives. Hopefully po, ito pong Kapaskuhan na ito, we'll devote time, really, to learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ. And He has been the subject of every preaching. He has been the subject of every teaching that we have in this pulpit. He has been the one we seek to know and understand and glorify all throughout our life. And if we are going to sum up Christianity in this, brethren, it is summed up in Christ. It's not like all other religions, brethren, just admire Christ and look at him as someone who is just, they can really admire, someone they can just use, you know, as a status symbol. Wow, I am a Christian, or someone they can look at, admire, and regard as a good man, a prophet, teacher, and an example. Okay, lahat po na ito na pinapakita po natin, hindi po malayo dun sa context kung saan po itong mga tao ay patuloy na sinasabi, siya lamang ay mabuting tao, siya lamang ay isang propeta, siya lamang ay isang dakilang tagapagturo at mabuting halimbawa, at wala nang iba. And all these other religions proclaim their own version of Christianity, or their own version of their leader, of their own religion. Okay, or to some degree, admire Christ as well. The Muslims admire Christ. Yun lamang, hindi po siya masigit, no, kay Muhammad. Or a Mormonism, halimbawa, kinikilala rin po nila. But he is a saint. He is like one of the gods, because they can become gods. Okay, to some extent. Okay, some other so-called branches of Christianity, like the INC or the JWs, we see them acknowledging Christ, but he is lesser God than he is. He is lesser than he who claims to be. And people, even in our time, most people celebrate Christmas without even acknowledging the reality of who Jesus Christ is. It is something that we must be grieved about. When there's something that we can rejoice about in Christmas, brethren, as Christians, as believers, this is a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is truly exalted in his church. But this is also a time when we, as God's people, are really grieved. Why? Because there's so much blaspheming about our Lord Jesus Christ. There is so much unbiblical understanding about Christ. Or kumbaga, masikat pa po si Santa Claus kaysa sa ating pong Panginoon. Masigit pa po ang selebrasyon na okasyon kaysa selebrasyon ng person mismo na ating pong Panginoong Jesus. Just like celebrating birthday without the celebrant. And some people are just that. They're content of what they can get out of the celebration, but not out of being able to submit to Christ himself. Yes, brethren, we must be grieved about this. That any inaccurate understanding of Christ, no matter how flattering, hindi po tayo dapat tayo papayag kagad-agad. Okay, galing-galing yan si Jesus. Oh, he's a really noble man. You know, he is a good teacher. He is a wonderful prophet. Yeah, he is, quote, son of God, but he is not God. We should not be content of that, brethren, because the way that they are presenting Christ is really maybe flattering, but it is demeaning. It really falls short on terms of accuracy, and any falling short of accuracy is a lie. It is a lie. Something that is not of the truth. When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, anything that comes short of our understanding of who he is blasphemy. It is a lie. And so, brethren, wag ho tayong papayag na basta-basta na ganun lamang ang ating pagkakilala sa ating pong Panginoong Jesus. Wag ho tayong basta-basta magsasabi ng mga bagay at mag-a-agree, because Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Malino po na pinapakita po dito, being the Messiah, really, brethren, points us back to his confession in Matthew 16, verse 16. In the same way, Peter acknowledged that. And what did Jesus tell Peter? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And that even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Upon this revelation of him being the Messiah, he will inaugurate Okay, the church age. And his coming and his declaration of him, an unshakable truth and reality of him being the Messiah, the only one who could save us from our sins. Him being the anointed one of God. He was sent from heaven to earth. We see that in Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 3. Pastor already dealt with that, so I don't have to go on discussing that with you. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 3. He is God's final word. God has spoken, but he has now spoken through his Son, who is the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of his nature. He is our priest, our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 6, he is the final sacrifice. He gave himself once and for all, so that you and I might be accepted by God. Wala na pong ibang nagbigay na kanyang sarili, kundi po ang ating pong Panginoon. He is King, the final deliverer whom God sent in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. He is from the line of the kings of old, brethren. Hindi po natin madidiscount ito pong katotohanan. The genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, Son of Abraham. He is the final deliverer whom God had already proclaimed through the prophets. Your King, behold your King. He will be our wonderful counselor, your mighty God, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Brethren, that fulfillment is yet to come in the final age. But he has already inaugurated that at his first coming, the spiritual age of his kingdom. And yes, brethren, not only that, he is God's eternal incarnate Son. We see that in John chapter 1, quoted that already for us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Okay, and you can continue on with that. In him was life, and the light, the life of men. In 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And they've seen his glory, the one and only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1, we continue on discussing this, that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he is the one who rules his church, who has supremacy over all things, who had died on the cross for us. But in Colossians chapter 2 also, brethren, if you look at Colossians chapter 2, sinasabi po doon, basahin na lang po natin yung Colossians chapter 2. Okay, dahil alam na po natin yung Colossians chapter 1. Sa Colossians chapter 2, pinapakita po doon ng manunulat ang katotohanan po sa ating pong Panginoong Jesus. Verse 9 and 10. Sabi po dito, "For in Him," take note, "Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." Nothing could be clearer than that, brethren. And in verse 10, it says, "And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority." This is the reality concerning God's eternal incarnate Son. He's only the anointed one. He is the eternal Son of God. And thirdly, brethren, he is deserving of worship. When he declared these words, go back to Mark chapter 8, brethren, and you would see in verse 30 how the Lord accepted the truth. How the Lord, he did not rebuke Peter and told him, "Oh, that's not truth. Okay? You're blaspheming." He accepted that as the truth. Brethren, Christ indeed warned them to tell no one about him yet. At that point, he reminded them not to tell anyone else about him because the time has not yet come. In Matthew chapter 16, you will find in verse 17, what did the Lord say? Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. No one has revealed this truth to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In John 20, we see there Thomas as well, acknowledging Christ, my Lord and my God. Oh, brother, he did not just say that para lang, dahil nagulat po siya. Hindi naman sinabi po yun. Alam po natin yung katotohanan na ito. And he worshiped the Lord. Right there and then, Jesus accepted their worship. And this truth concerning who Jesus Christ is cannot come to us, brethren, apart from being able to really look into the reality of Jesus Christ, that He is God. He is who He claimed to be as God. Ito po yung trilemma po ni C.S. Lewis. No, kanya pong description po sa ating pong Panginoon, Jesus claimed to be God. Yan po ang una po niyang argument sa Bible. Undeniably, that Jesus indeed claimed to be God. Now, if claims were false, and he does not know, or he knew that his claims were false, but he just deceived people, he was lying, he was a liar. That's the only thing you can conclude about him. And then, if he is just saying some things that he is out of his mind, he did not really know what he was saying. Okay, sinasabi niya son of God siya or Diyos siya, then he is a lunatic. Okay, because he was just saying so certain things maybe sa kanyang palagay, totoo, pero ini-imagine lamang niya. Then he is a lunatic. You can conclude him to be a liar or a lunatic if his claim to be God were false. And you're given the decision to decide. You're given the decision, okay, to do that as well. And now the truthfulness of Christ, if he is indeed the true God, the Son of God, then he is indeed Lord. But there are two things still that you can do. The first, you can totally reject him and just have nothing to do with him, dismiss him altogether as a liar and a lunatic. But don't admire him at all. Don't regard him at all as a special guy. Don't believe at all in his words. Don't quote him at all if he is indeed false. But if you're someone who just admires him at that, it is either you accept him fully and totally as Lord and God over your life, or still reject him. And later on, come face to face with that reality of your unwillingness to confess him to be your Lord and God. Kaya po itong katotohanan po na ito, mga kapatid, reveals to us what Christianity is, because Christianity begins and ends with Christ. It begins and ends with Christ. There is no Christianity without Christ. There is no real Christianity. No matter what religion you belong to, kung sinasabi mo, or kahit na sinasabi mo, iglesia ka pa, na nasa pangalan pa ng ating Panginoon, kung hindi totoo ang iyong pagkakilala kay Kristo, then you are a false church. Then you are a false convert. Then you are not a true believer in Jesus Christ. If your understanding of Him is complete, you cannot call yourself a true believer. You cannot call yourself a true Christian. And that's why all the other groups, all the others fall short of this reality. If you do not believe in the Trinity, if you do not believe in the deity of Christ, if you do not truly believe in who He is, and the gospel message really proclaims to us the reality of Jesus Christ Himself. And the truth concerning Christ is the key to a right relationship with God. Hindi po natin makikilala ang Diyos. Sabi po ng John 17, eternal life is to know God in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 John 5:20, yun din po sinasabi po sa atin. Eternal life is knowing God the Son Himself in the totality of His person. Kaya nga, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord must begin with the divinity of His person. Yes, brethren, That must be the foundation of our lives. The true knowledge of Christ does not come from our own spiritual or intellectual ability. It comes as a gift to us as God reveals His Son into our hearts. Eye has not seen or ear has heard what God has revealed to us by His Holy Spirit who is in our hearts. The carnal mind cannot accept these things. He cannot. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord until the Spirit of God touches him and moves upon his heart to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. No one can truly acknowledge him. Sabi po ng John 16, no one can come to me unless the Father reveals him. And whoever comes to me, I will not disappoint. I will not reject him. Yun naman po magandang balansi po doon, mga kapatid. If you are really someone whom the Lord had touched to believe in Him, paano kung hindi ako pinili? Okay? Ang tanungin mo ngayon, kinikilala mo ba ang ating Panginoon? Do you confess Him? Do you acknowledge Him? Then God is already working in your heart to reveal Himself to you. So allow that time, an opportunity for you to surrender your heart and surrender your life to Him if you have not yet done so. The second truth, brethren, in terms of the reason He came, progresses now from verses 31 to 33. And He began to teach them. Ano sabi po niya? That the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after that, and after 3 days, rise again. And He was stating the matter plainly. Now Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter, said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." This concerning the Lord our God, concerning the reality of Him coming down to earth, it's not just to reveal Himself as God. He came, sabi po niya dito, The Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must be rejected. The Son of Man must be killed. And after 3 days, He will rise again. And we see the whole truth of that, brethren. After this Christmas, that's what we were looking forward to. Ang lahat po na ating pong tinatayuan pagdating po sa ating Panginoong Jesus culminates in that and brings us forward to that. Open to Luke chapter 24. Brethren, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, Luke chapter 24, verses 25 to 27. Sabi po niya dito, "And He said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the scriptures." He declared these things. Have you not heard of long ago? All these prophecies concerning are pointing toward the suffering of the Messiah. All of these things that you have learned about Him coming down as a baby in a manger, all these truths that you have heard of long ago, Isaiah declared that already. And He will be satisfied. He will suffer and die for the sins of men. He will be crushed. He will be afflicted by God Himself. He will be nailed to the cross. He will be crushed and be rejected, but his soul will be satisfied when he sees that his death will bring many into glory, may bring us to new life and salvation in his name. We know his sacrifice on the cross, brethren. He came to his own. He became man. He became God's righteousness. So he made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It works both ways, brother. He is God's righteousness who was nailed to the cross without sin, but He suffered and He died as an offering for sin. He made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that we can be made righteous before God. He suffered, the righteous one suffering for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. 1 Peter 3, Hebrews 9, 28. Apart from blood on the cross, there is no remission of sins. And therefore, we are to come as people who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ represents His death and suffering on that cross. And it's clear to us by now, brethren, ng lahat na ating pong pinag-aaralan, na sabi po ng ating Panginoon sa Mark 10, at malinaw po, binanggit po niya yan mismo, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. The baby in the manger has become our sin bearer so that we can be saved forever. The baby in the manger has become our sin bearer so that we can be saved forever, brethren. Although this message is a foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, the cross is the wisdom of God. It is the wisdom of God. And this is the cross that we declare to you. I preach no one else and nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. Yan po ang mensahe ng mga apostol. Ano sabi po ni Pablo, first things first, I declare to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins. And after that, He was raised again on the third day. This is the message of first importance. This is the message that's connected to Christmas. This is the message that we continue to proclaim to the world, brethren. From the baby in the manger to being a sin bearer to be saved forever. And Christ's coming is as meaningful to us only when we recognize the God that He is and the reason He came. When only we recognize, it will be more meaningful to us. All of these rejoicing, all of these celebrations, all of these things that we continue to do as a people of God and continue to affirm as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will go on and on, brethren, declaring to you for as long as we live, for as long as God gives to us, for as long as the Lord has not yet come for the second time. But we must recognize Him as God. We must truly acknowledge the reason why He came. We must acknowledge His redemptive work on our behalf. And lastly, brethren, the response. The response we give to Jesus. And He summoned the crowd with His disciples. So this is not just for the believers. He says, anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will, or for the gospel's, will save it. And whoever does not, or what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We are to respond to him. You've heard it time and again. Whatever truth you hear about the Lord, whatever truth we proclaim, whatever truth, brethren, we read from the Word of God, whatever we listen to, whenever we are confronted with the truth, there is a necessary response. And all of us are enjoined, brethren, to do that. Truth must not be ignored. When you're confronted with this reality of Jesus, who do you say the Son of Man is? If the Lord might be asking that to us, will we rightly affirm, just like Peter, you are the Christ? But not, brethren, hopefully, hindi po natin tatanggalin kung paano po Peter tried to deny that. Di po ba? And that's why Jesus rebuked him and said, you are not of God's interest. You're not representing God's interest. Why? Because anything falls short of Christ being God and His redemptive work is of the devil. If you say that you can be saved by your works, if you say you can be saved by just your own religion and not by Christ's, then you are blaspheming God and you are not of God and you are not representing God's interests but of Satan's. Because all these other religions are tools of Satan to convince people that they can be saved in their own way, in their own work, in their own religion. But in true Christianity, it convinces us otherwise. When we are confronted with the truth, we must not ignore the truth. And we must understand it and believe with all our hearts. And yes, brethren, the Lord challenged these people, if anyone wishes to come, let him come. But these are my requirements. Whatever truth I have revealed, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He did not sugarcoat his message. He presented it in such a way that people must really understand clearly what it means to follow him. There is no Christianity apart from the denying of the self, apart from the taking up of the cross, and apart from following Jesus Christ daily. And that is the cost we need to reckon with. Whoever wishes to come, whoever wishes to believe in Christ, must understand this reality. Confess your sin and trust him alone to be your Lord and Savior. Acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of God's saving grace. You look at the Gospel of Mark, you will see an account there of a rich young ruler who came to Christ and asked him, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And you can go on discussing that and looking at that in yourself. And what did that man experience? Nothing. He departed from, he turned away sad because he had great riches. It only goes to show, brethren, he did not accept the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm a good teacher, and you are good. You are right in saying that, but I'm not just a good teacher. No one is good except God, and I am God. I want you to acknowledge me as God over your life. You might be rich, you might be lavishing in all of these things, but I'm telling you, one thing you lack, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, come follow me. He was putting that bar, standard. You want the truth, then this truth brings you to the reality of your sin. This truth brings you to the reality of your acknowledgement of me as God himself. Brethren, respond in true humility and full surrender. And this truth that declares to us, whoever wishes will lose his life, whoever wishes to save will lose his life, and whoever wants to save his life for my sake, okay, must lose it. Sabi ng Panginoon, what will it profit a man if gains the world and yet lose his soul? It takes humility, brethren, and full surrender to be able to do that. And in response, brethren, people need to come to grips at the point, Lord, I have nothing. I could not do anything to save myself. Lord, I am dead. I am dead, Lord God, without you in my life. I profit nothing. I may have all the world's goods. I may have all the world's riches. I may have everything, all the amenities of this life. But Lord, you are my life. You are the only one, Lord God, who could give me true life. I am willing to lose it for your sake. I am willing to give up everything for your sake. And here is my heart, Lord. Brethren, he is calling us to respond in that way. Know Christ's worth and live in true devotion to him. The Lord is just nothing short, but to respond in his true worth. Kung tunay siyang Panginoon, then kilalanin mo siya bilang Panginoon ng iyong buhay. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing less than that, brethren. He is indeed Lord in your life. If he is to be Lord at all, sabi nga po, he must be Lord of all. Palagi po natin naririnig po yun. Kung tunay siyang Diyos, sinasabi mo, ako ang Panginoon, then gawin mo yung sinasabi ko. Then tuparin mo yung salita ko. Then sumunod ka sa akin and devote your life for me. And yes, brethren, declare his word. Speak more of him and serve him wholeheartedly. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. The time to declare Him is now. The opportunity for us that God gives is now. Binibigyan pa po tayo ng Panginoon na patuloy na hayag pong katotohanan po. Huwag po tayo ma-discourage sa anumang mga bagay na sinasabi at ginagawa ng mundo to oppose Christ and His message, because we know that this will continue, brethren, all throughout our time. Habang po palapit na tayo ng palapit sa pagdating ng ating Panginoong Jesus. The opposition against Him and our message. And even at the point when we will have to suffer and be persecuted as the true meaning of persecution comes. Hopefully po, hindi yung time ng tribulation, na klase ng ganong persecution. Pero ito pong mga bagay na ito is leading up to that, brethren. But we confess Him and not be ashamed of Him and His words in this adulterous, in this sinful generation that we are still living in. And the Son of Man will not be ashamed of you when He comes in His glory with His Father and of His holy angels. Yes, brethren, to summarize all that we've been discussing here, the reason He came was to reveal Himself as God. The reason He came was to redeem us from our sins. The reason He came was to receive our worship and our love and our true gratitude and devotion. And brethren, as we close this year, may we continue to live for Him. We may fulfill our mission, just as how He fulfilled His mission of coming down from heaven to earth to seek to save us from our sins, not serving Himself, but to give His life as a ransom for us. That is the same message that we proclaim. Follow Him and fulfill that mission. Seek to glorify Him always, every waking day of our lives. Habang may pagkakataon pa po, bagong taon, bagong pagkakataon na binibigay ng Diyos. Bagong buhay, bagong mga bagay na nilalaan ng Panginoon. As we look forward to these things, let us not forget who is the source of those things. Do not forget that He is the primary motivation. He is the one who lives in us and wants to empower us so that we can live fully for Him. Let us pray. Oh, loving God, we thank You. We are so unworthy, Lord, of Your truth, Lord. Even me as Your servant, Lord God. Who am I, Lord God? I'm able to share these words, Lord, concerning You. What a truth, Lord, of Your reality as our God, as our Redeemer, worthy of all our love, worthy of our worship, worthy of our service, worthy to be declared, proclaimed to all the world. While people, Lord God, are continuing, Father, in their ways, while people are continually, Lord, going about their business, Father, year after year after year, Lord, even celebrating the season, Lord God, without You in their lives. How we grieve at that, Lord. Marami po sa aming panahon, Panginoon, hindi po unawa, Panginoon, ng tunay na kadahilanan kung bakit sila po ay nagdiriwang, Panginoon. Masaya lamang po sila dahil sa mga pangyayari, dahil sa mga bagay na meron po sila, dahil sa mga bagay ng buhay ng mundong ito. But Lord, without You, Father, there is no true joy. There is no true life. There is no true celebration. All they have is lie. All they have, Lord, they are not of the truth. All they celebrate, Lord God, is the occasion. Their religiosity, Father, and even themselves. But Father, to us who truly acknowledge You had already known this truth, Lord God, even from the time we came to You as our Lord and Savior, Lord, these are precious to us. Help us not, Lord God, to fumble them. Help us not, Lord God, to lose sight of these truths. Help us not, Lord God, to disregard these things. Help us not to misrepresent You to the world around us. Help us to be solid, Lord, in our understanding of who You are. Help us to be solid, Lord God, in our proclamation of Your word and not be tainted, Lord God, by the ideas, the false ideas of the world around us, but be focused on your truth and your truth alone. Thank you, Father, for each one who have come today, for those who have heard this message, Lord, however it had come across to their hearts. I pray that it will incite, Lord, true response of submission and devotion and love and humility, Lord, in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us all of these privileges, Lord God, this year. And we are looking forward for another year, Lord, for as long as we still live, Lord, as long as you still give us the opportunity, Lord, to do this. Father, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to be true to you. Help us, O God, sa pagsalubong po namin ng bagong taon, Panginoon, punuin po ninyo ang aming puso ng kasiglahan ng mga bagay na aming pong daranasin, Panginoon, ay nasa kamay po ninyo, Panginoon. Hindi po namin hawak, Lord God, ang kinabukasan, ngunit ikaw ang aming Diyos. At sapat na po ito, Panginoon. Sapat po kayo sa aming buhay. We thank you, Lord God. We honor you. Even, Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings, help us to give with faith. Help us to give, Lord God, with thankfulness for all the blessings that you bestowed on us, undeserving as we are of these things. Lord, you continue, Lord God, to provide for all our needs. You continue, Lord God, to bless us. You continue, Lord God, to sustain us. You continue, Lord, to reveal yourself as our great provider. Thank you, Lord. And trust each one, Father God. You know their needs. You know their hearts. And trust their families to you. And trust their protection to you, Lord. You know them, Lord God. Grant them, Lord God, their prayers. And allow all of us, Lord, to celebrate you this coming new year. For your glory and purpose alone, accomplish it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God po. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year sa ating pong lahat.